Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes. Let's love.
Poodle, how many times have you been laying in a bed with a gentleman and he said, you know, you're like a tiger in bed, but a poodle at dinner?
Lots, because then I go and rip his throat out. And he bleeds out. And I'm like,
gross.
And there's just blood dripping all over my mouth. Hey, well, you asked.
Yeah, I did. That is my fault. Y'all, this is reality gaze. Before the 90 days,
that's the
we're
thing.
Talking.
It's like a praying mantis.
Oh, no.
You got to fuck them, then rip off their head.
I opened Poodle's box, and that's a lot bigger than Pandora's.
And it's got a lot more crazy shit
it's
in it.
A lot more crazy shit
Poodle's
in
box.
It. Poodle's box.
People are like, oh, God.
Oh, God. They're just like, it's wide out.
Why is there a pup mask in there?
What? Oh, goodness.
Shut the lid.
Shut the lid. Y'all, this is reality gaze. I'm Maddie, and that's Poodle. Oh, I'm pointed like everybody's watching. Not everybody's watching. Some of you are because you're on an intimate portrait.
Hello.
You're sitting right here in between us. Gunk, gunk. You're just sitting
your hair's
right
big
here.
Today.
Your hair's big today. Y'all, we're back in Los Angeles. It is gorgeous outside.
It's a little dry.
It almost feels better outside than in your apartment.
No, it doesn't.
No, have you been out?
Yeah.
It feels beautiful.
It's too windy.
I've got the windows open. It's breezy. It feels good. You get
I like to regulate
breeze.
My environment.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
We're freshly back from Portland and Seattle.
We are. Someone sent me a message and said, I didn't get to connect with you as much at the Seattle show because I was a little drunk and they were talking to you.
Yeah, no shit.
And they said, Seattle got drunk. And they said, I think I put my hand in the small of Poodle's back when I took a picture.
You did.
And I said, Poodle doesn't have a problem with that.
No, but a lot of people do that. And at one point, a woman just started rubbing my back in a circular motion. I don't think that's cute.
Sweet, that's love. They're just saying, I
get
love
away
you,
from
Poodle.
Me.
I love you, Poots. Someone did kind of almost put their hand on my butt. It was a guy, and I kind of was like, I almost wanted to get on my tiptoes so he'd just go lower.
Portland was really fun. Seattle's show was a trade fest.
It was a
just men in the show and the
there
front
were a
of the
lot
show.
A lot of
a
hot
lot
men.
Of hot looking trade there.
There was
I sat
a lot
on one of them's lap.
You did. There were a lot of cute men at that show. And beautiful
and
women.
And beautiful women.
Because I want to do a everywhere. Lot of their makeup. I could tell. That's how I know, y'all. That's how I know.
We had a really good time.
We did have a good time. We've got other live shows coming up. Y'all go to the Reality Gaze or the Linktree link. We have Boston, Philly, D.C. Atlanta sold out. But
and Nashville.
In Nashville.
So there's another one. Boston, Philly,
D.C.
D.C., Atlanta, Nashville. Yeah, that was five. Yeah. And then we will be announcing probably after that Nashville show, might wait a week, and then we're going to announce some more dates
summer. Tejas, we coming to you.
And I mentioned this before, although I still have people screaming at me from the frozen north to Minneapolis, we will be coming to you.
We will be coming. So, can we?
Denver, I believe.
Can we go when we go to Texas? Can we go to San Antonio and meet the cast of Pig Royalty?
I don't think we're going to San Antonio.
We're not.
Why do you mention that?
I would love to, though. I'd love to meet the Reigns. Because it's coming back, y'all. March 16th, Pig Royalty.
Oh, that was a nice segue.
Well, no, just
even though it was
nice.
Erroneous.
No, I do. I want to, remember they said, if y'all ever do a show, I think they said if you do a show in
it's not on the Texas
Houston
list.
Or Austin.
It's not on the Texas list.
Austin is.
Yeah.
Houston, I don't know.
I hate jumping around this.
Sorry. Anyway, y'all, we don't know, but we do know that Pig Royalty is coming back on March 16th. The last episode, so this episode, these videos were 90 days airing on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week because we had a live show. So, y'all, on Tuesday, if you're listening to this first show, it's a Tuesday, and the last episode of Pig Royalty dropped on Animal Planet. It airs tonight. So you can watch that, or you can watch it all on Discovery Plus. But our last episode of Pig Royalty that we did on season one is dropping on the free feed tonight too. And so that's going to be happening. But then on Wednesday, March 16th, it's going to, I forgot about that. We got Pig Royalty coming up this week. Oh, now is it going to drop all on Discovery Plus like it did last time?
Doubtful. I think we're going to have the first two episodes.
We don't know how it
like
is.
Like we did. Y'all, we're the last to know and rarely the first to find out.
Rarely the first to find out. Because didn't it, the whole season drop last time, right?
No.
Oh, it didn't.
Two episodes at first, then episode each week.
Oh, it did. Okay. Well, who knows, though?
We had this discussion.
Don't remember.
About 4 days ago.
Don't remember.
And I said this, and you said almost the exact same thing. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Y'all.
And then you had a lobotomy somehow.
I just go through life happy. fine by me.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Fine by me.
Pretty close to you.
But, y'all, we're going to say this again.
I don't know if lobotomy is a happy, perpetually happy state.
Ignorance is bliss. Y'all.
No, it's not.
Pig Royalty is really one of our favorite shows. So if you're not watching it.
The best, Jerry. The best.
And y'all, we're sorry because our voices are tired, everything. We're cough dropping it today. So people with misophonia or whatever it's called, I'm sorry. We're doing our best.
Put on your headphones and your self-soothers, whatever you need.
Whatever you need to do. Put your hands in clay while you listen. I get it, but we're all doing our best.
And also, we had my allergies kind of kicked in with the cherry blossoms.
We just
blooming.
Really need to remove everything. There were beautiful cherry blossoms in Portland. It was gorgeous. Okay, and what's the next announcement, Pooh? We get anything else?
Our charity this month, the Sissy Squad,
is very
Global
important to
Fund
us.
For Children.
Global
it's,
Fund
it's working
for Children.
With kids and even other charity, kids charities and other charities on the ground in Ukraine, where if you follow the news at all, it's not getting better.
It's getting worse.
It's getting worse.
It's horrible.
And,
it's horrible.
So spare if you've got anything to spare something for the children and other charities. We have vetted these charities. They're working there, but the Global Fund for Children is working with Ukrainian charities on the ground that they have vetted as well.
I think we've raised over $3,500
yes,
so far.
So,
we'd like to raise $5,000.
Yes, that's our goal.
At least. So y'all, if you could donate to that,
we would love it. You're like me, you felt, and everyone in America, you feel very helpless right now.
Yeah.
You can't do anything. There's been a lot of kind of sketchy charities reported on the ground in Ukraine. But we vetted through this. We went through Charity Finder.
It's in the Facebook group. So
it's
there you go. Or you can go on Etsy or buy something or and get it later.
Airbnb. Rent an Airbnb. But don't go.
Don't go to Ukraine right now. It'd be like, Don't be an Ella who thinks it's fine for Johnny to travel in July of 2021.
COVID has really inconvenienced me.
When I said, so you want me to wait for 7 months, and then I added up, wait a minute, so he wants to come in February 2022, so that would be...
Are you kidding me? She needs to learn to be a salt wife.
It's literally when
she
the
needs
pimp
to learn to wait through. For her husband. Wait on the lighthouse.
She does because
I will wait for you, Ephraim. The bride
in the sea and the tide, where the land goes down, the sea finds love,
and she found herself in the bosom of the sea.
Yes,
folk songs of the British Isles always end with a woman killing themselves.
Oh, in the brine,
and then the river held her in the bosom.
She and then herself. She drowned.
I like that sea voice. I think that's going to come back.
I actually don't hate that one, which is rare.
She's ridiculous. Anyway.
I found a new level of grossness for her this episode. She's given us quite the tour.
Yeah, quite the tour.
Of grossness.
I'm going to need a Mom and Ella segment real soon.
Oh, her mother?
Yeah, just so we can do it again. That's it.
Also, y'all, the Bicurious for for March is live. Your three choices, this is on our $5 level of the Patreon, your three choices where for whatever we choose, it'll be live once we get tonight.
Oh, but okay.
Thank you for looking.
I was going to go see who voted.
Not yet.
Okay, never mind.
This is Tuesday.
I grabbed my phone.
Yeah, it kind of ruined everything because I was thinking when it was going to...
What's up now? They can vote.
They can vote. What I was saying is that Tuesday, tonight,
yes,
you will be able to see the Bicurious up. And that is the deadline is Friday to vote.
Yes.
Have all your votes. We are having choosing between the Jane Austen Regency era courtship on NBC. The Below Deck Down Under.
Down Under.
On Peacock. And our first true crime offering, Worst Roommate,
Roommate Ever. Or as I like to call, The Wrong Neighbor. Which, as Sissy told us, there's already a show on ID Channel.
Or Hate Thy Neighbor or something like that.
A show that's about neighbors who kill people.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Y'all, there's no new ideas anymore.
There's no new ideas anymore. There's not.
One time, Mother Poodle once said to me, y'all think we know nothing about sex. Trust me, we did everything. And all I think is, that I don't, because I guarantee you, Mother Poodle, I've done crazier shit than you.
She did smoke a lot of pot, you think?
She only smoked a little bit of weed.
Oh, I thought you said that she was more of a hippie
I doubt she was wearing a pup mask. And another guy was wearing a spider costume.
You should smoke some weed with her the next time you go home.
No.
Why? It'd be a good story.
No. She would never do that. Never do that now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All the way. Anything else? Any other? You wrote down the announcements. I didn't.
Oh, we're doing season 5 of 90 Day Fiancé as our class list.
Oh, it's good.
Patreon. We had lots of reaction. We were talking about Evelyn and David at the...
We hate
and
them.
And one woman just went, hey!
Yeah, she just screamed out, "Hate it!" We don't like them, but we do like to watch them.
It's like, madam, do you have a microphone?
Evelyn is, I can't wait to see where she is
now. Yeah,
and
there's Molly and Louise, Josh and Ika.
Josh and Ika and his
Nicole,
hot judgy friend Joe.
Nicole and Azen doing his best.
Y'all, they're running
structure
around.
Structure employee.
Azen is really pissed that she's putting that baby in a halter.
Leash.
A leash walking around Marrakesh.
And I think there's more, too. But
there's more, too. We just can't remember them.
Then listen to the show.
There's no fear... There's no fear in love, Brother Poodle.
There's no fear in love.
Fear in love.
Doesn't it feel like he's just inventing commandments?
Yes.
Or inventing Bible verses?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We're going to get to that.
Yes.
Not this episode.
Didn't know
be on our
I
next
could dislike
episode.
Him more.
New
level.
He
the same you felt for Ella, I felt the same for Ben. I was like, oh.
No,
I wanted to shake my TV off the wall.
He's at the same level, but it couldn't go worse than an 11 for me because I've been triggered by him from
that's
the first
true.
Episode.
That's true.
True. Now I'm kind of almost numb to it. Now
I'm just now starting to feel it.
Now I'm fascinated by it. Like I said on the the live show. That storyline is the masterpiece of this season.
It really is.
It has changed.
Turned everything
every
around.
Every episode.
Turn around.
It really is the Guernica. You don't expect, you're like, every time you look at it, something else is new.
It's true.
Or like Hieronymus Bosch painting. You're like, is someone eating someone's head? Oh my God, someone in that other one is setting someone on fire.
Only four people knew what that reference, pretentious reference was.
No, people know Bosch paintings. Have you ever seen those, it looks like almost a Where's Waldo, and like he'll do paintings of hell, and it's like, all these things, you see all these awful things that are happening.
No, I haven't seen this art. That sounds terrible. I don't want this hanging up in my kitchen.
No, no one hangs a Hieronymus Bosch print. Maybe if it's like a really freaky house.
Maybe.
You can Google Bosch. B-O-S-C-H. It'd be
like, remember when you would go like to, I remember when I was in grad school because the psychology degree I got, there was a specialization like in LGBTQ psychology. So I did that. But there were people that were, and I know you've done it just from academics, or that are gay academics that you go to their house and they just have paintings of penises
and
everywhere.
Or penises or... Or an actual labia sculpture.
Yes, yes. Women don't do this much. I feel like the gay men have just...
You've never been in a lesbian house like that then.
Well, you were in several book clubs of just lesbians. Yeah. But they're, but no, I do know one lesbian who did have like labia sculptures and things like that. But
very big.
I'm into dick, but I don't want a painting. I don't want a house just with naked men all over my... That's for special time.
It's a certain... artistic license that I don't want. It's very Birdcage. Remember when they were
yes,
all...
Yes, I get it. I get why it needs to be there, but...
I think for a lot of
me.
People it was a way of activism.
I think so, too.
But
I just don't
it's
want,
not for me.
I just don't want, you know, the cable man coming over and fixing my TV and there's just a giant erect drawing of a dick.
I don't care about that. I'm just thinking I want my art to have some... kind of meaning, couple different meanings.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, not just dick.
Ba-dum.
Let's jump into this with Memphis.
Is that who we're doing? I don't
Hamza.
Remember the order. I already forgot.
So, y'all, this is episode 13. We this is now confirmed. We only have two more episodes.
Oh, it is confirmed.
It is confirmed.
Where'd you hear that? I didn't know.
No, it's official. They've announced.
Oh, because they've announced.
They've announced 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, that's true.
Have we done a live show? We done? No, this is a new
one. We haven't talked about that,
y'all. The 90 Day Fiancé trailer is out.
It looks good. All new people.
No.
Oh wait, no. There's one person.
Ari and Benyam.
Ari and Benyam. But other than that, all new.
That's a shocker. I thought we might see Memphis and Hamza. I thought we might see Gino and Jasmine. I'm shocked we don't see Amber and Daniel.
And we saw that Amber and Daniel, they did get married. I think we saw on Instagram. I'm shocked we don't see Amber and Daniel. I would really have rooted for them.
Me
I think
too.
They would have. I would have loved them.
I'm a little shocked we didn't see any of the Caribbean love couples.
I am too.
Yeah.
Like, come on. What's his name? Moved over from the island. To Seattle with
Victor and Ellie.
And why not Victor and Ellie?
I remember though, not everyone likes being on the show.
We learned that from our Kyle and Noon interview.
Yeah,
which by the way, y'all, Kyle, they did not love being on the show. Kyle and Noon, we're gonna put the we're editing some clips up, but we have a pretty good video that Sissy Robin took. She was in the audience, so Christina is just fixing the audio because she's immersion.
You will hear the entire audio on the podcast.
It's already I've already heard
to,
it.
If you want to see it, if you want to see the interview of us, and
it's gonna be on Patreon.
See me at one point looking at Kyle and just going. And getting lost in his eyes.
You should have done it that way because they couldn't have seen
because
it.
Because I was doing just, direction. Fine.
I know, but the camera couldn't have seen it. Yeah, it was like that. It was just like that. It's kind of like Nickel. It kind of was. Like, your brain started to think too much and it got too heavy. Wow.
He went in at the end of the night. He went in for a hug with me and hugged me really long.
He did me too, but you won't acknowledge that.
I don't think you were there.
Anyway, y'all,
I actually didn't acknowledge you until after the whole time they were there.
Your brain space is filled up. Y'all,
are you there even at the show?
I think you didn't even ask Noon a question once.
I did. That's not true.
I did.
I asked her about being a snowboarder.
Y'all, that's going to be up on our Patreon sometime this week. So just be on the lookout for that. We'll drop it on a surprise.
But what I was going to say is the new trailer, the 90 Day Fiancé, is dropping, I want to say, Easter.
The trailer's out.
The premiere is on Easter because ain't nothing like celebrating the resurrection
of Jesus
with
a trash TV show. Y'all, Ari's sister, or Benny's sisters, I don't know if they go back to visit or if they're leaving, but they're throwing wine.
Oh, I wish I could have been there to witness it in person. She's like,
Benny's coming over. The new couples, it looks like there's a meathead from Texas.
There is, yeah.
Very bro guy. So
there's a lot of people of color on this season. Yes, which it was just like that. 90 Day has never been that diverse before.
Which is great. So it's great. So, and it looks messy.
It already does.
It does look messy.
Yeah.
Let's hope they vetted people a little bit more than this season.
No, doubtful.
Wow.
Doubtful. Well, remember though, Before the 90 is the messiest because they're already in the beginning stages.
It is the beginning.
So
I will say, going back to this, I think Hamza is my favorite person on this season.
Yes, me too.
Hamza and
Johnny. Johnny.
My heart breaks for Johnny. I love Johnny.
I think both Hamza and Johnny, their worst qualities is they are both very naive. So.
Yeah, and too giving.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever been sobbing and then some guy offered to put a diamond ring on your finger? Don't answer that. Let's just keep talking about this couple.
So, Mamza is brushing.
Does he have a bald spot?
Hair.
Is she trying to cover his
I don't
bald
know.
Spot? But she is.
Y'all,
brushing
he
his
is.
Hair.
He is a little boy.
He is a little boy.
Memphis is going to have to raise another child.
She is. She is.
Now, and Memphis is over there having a lovely breakfast catered by Hostess. Looks like donuts.
I was surprised. Their breakfast. I was expecting like something that looked Tunisian. No, just donuts.
Well, a lot of places in the world, it's a lot of
pastries.
You'll have pastries, simple sugar.
She was drinking that whole glass of orange juice, and all I kept thinking
reflux.
I would have reflux.
Haven't had orange juice in years.
Years. So anyway, y'all, they're getting married in 2 days.
She's like, I'm getting married to Hamza in 2 days.
And they sit down at the table, and Hamza said, well, my mother would like to go speak to you to the translator.
She's, of course, scared shitless.
And
because
it's like, okay.
She hasn't spent any time one-on-one with his mom.
And Hayat, is that how you say her name, Hayat?
Hamadi.
Oh.
Her name.
No, her name. Oh, I thought that's the translator.
No, Hamadi is the translator.
Hayat's his mom's name,
yes.
Right? I love that she said, I have a lot of things to say to you later.
I can't wait to come talk to you. And Memphis goes, ooh.
And so, okay.
I can't wait to say lots to you.
Memphis does have a very, like,
she goes,
she is not a good poker face. You know what she's thinking. So, they go meet with y'all.
It's Hamadi, the translator. It's like, hello.
Hello.
Welcome down and sit down, please.
He reminds me of, like, a Tunisian Wayne Newton.
Yeah.
With his hair. He looks like he could be in Vegas.
Or he's a big personality.
He looks like he could be a Vegas translator.
Let us share all the things that we need to say to one another. You go first. Now.
That's true.
Mamza basically says, here's the long and the short of it, y'all. I'm scared her ex will create a problem for my son. Because... Yep. That seems to be the issue because he's upset about the ex being in their life. And she's like, you don't understand. My ex is a good guy. He only cares about how he treats my children.
How Hamza treats the children.
Yeah. And
she says, he's okay that I'm moving on.
And then she finally just says, so I need to know. Hamza's mentioned this a little bit, but I need to know what happened to you when you were younger.
Which to me tells me, what made me wonder.
They don't know this person.
Does Hamza not know what happened to her when she was younger?
I think obviously there's a language barrier.
But to me, I think, why wouldn't he have told her? Because I think
I think it's twofold. I think she has been cagey about it because she doesn't want to talk about it.
Yes. Yeah.
And also, she's afraid if she shares too much, she's going to be considered unlovable.
And yes, because when you have all that trauma, you don't want to be broken, quote unquote, damaged goods to people. Especially culture. She doesn't know what a Tunisian culture like.
Right.
We all know that the definition of divorce and what divorce is looked at is very different in this country.
And
so
this is interesting, though. She says, "Well, I have to tell you, my mother and I, we were homeless. We did not know that before.
If they did, I forgot it. We knew that she went to foster homes, and she said her mother
was an addict.
Yes, but we didn't know that she'd been homeless.
And she said, I've been through a lot of stuff, a lot of... Y'all, it doesn't matter if Memphis is a trauma, if Memphis is with a translator or not. Trauma!
Yeah.
And I might do that too, but it is ridiculous to watch her consistently do that.
To speak to things loud and slow. I know. I've done it too. But yeah, it's not. They don't know what it
means.
And
I will say, when someone hits you with this, mom is kind of like, that's a lot.
I felt like this conversation was very moving to me, actually.
Yeah.
And it was moving to me because it was two people that have been broken by trauma in their life, and we come to relationships, whether it's love or even friend, we bring our trauma into that.
Yeah.
And so as the mom was talking, it just had been a while since we talked about it. I went, oh yeah, I forgot. She was fucked over. Her life was ruined by divorce.
She did not share that at this moment, but
Memphis knows that.
Yeah.
And so her life was ruined by divorce, and here she's – that's her fear.
Yep.
And the same thing's going to happen. And for Memphis, what I really – we didn't know she was homeless. So putting all these people – I really did, like, even though, like
– everything was okay until Memphis said –
I don't love till the end with the whole prenup thing.
No. But Memphis said, you're getting to me.
Well, that was a trigger – that was – yeah, she got triggered. And I wanted to be like – did they not say something, show something in the video? Because I felt like that response was really
she said
like 10%.
Well, here's
when
what
her
she
mom
said.
Wasn't coming with that.
Here's what she said. The mom said, you know, I think sometimes you get angry, and I'm afraid you're going to be angry with my
which
son.
Just happened.
Yes.
So, which again, y'all, when you go, Memphis, I have more empathy for her in that she made more sense to me. Now that I know she was a foster kid. Now that I know that
we've known that, though.
But now I'm adding it all together.
Right.
Foster kid, her parent was an addict, homeless. This woman is so fucking anxious all the time.
Right.
And now I realize why she wants to control everything in the situation.
Right.
Control Hamza because she needs the safety.
I call this, she wants a full blown guarantee of a husband.
Which I it
but you can't
make
do that
right.
with a relationship.
It doesn't make it right, but I understand her now. And I go, is why sometimes you come off as being so you can be so controlling is because you just both of these women both just want to know that the other person is going that their kid is going to be safe.
But here's where she's like, no, you're looking at all this in a negative way. I've come through that. My thing would be as a person, like if I had a child and I'm finding all this out, it's not great.
Well, but I think that was a good thing for her to say, because I'm imagining, I don't know a lot, but it did seem like the mom was looking at this and like, you're damaged goods.
Right.
And I think for Memphis to say, I've got my degree, like this made me a stronger person to fight through this.
But she's breaking the mother-in-law rule.
Which is?
Don't fuck with your mother-in-law before you get married.
No. She did get riled, but I think her saying that, this made me a stronger person and I was able to get through this, that's actually where his mom started to soften, because Memphis follows. She's like, I'm loving. She's like, and then she started to cry and said, I will never bring him to America and have him get hurt, which is exactly what her mother's fear is.
Yep.
He'll go to America and get hurt. So now she's crying. Mom's crying. The twins are going, can you not see their tears? Can you not see their tears? What do I have to do?
My thing, what I would just suggest if you're in the situation with a mother-in-law, don't get angry, y'all. Don't tell them. If you get angry, you were resorting basically to unleashing on them.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the last thing. Because then people turn off, and you don't become empathetic. You don't become receptive.
No, not when people get angry. Yeah. So, which I feel like Hamza's mom, she bottles everything up. These women are what I was.
Well, that's cultural.
But what was fascinating to me is that they both go about life completely different. You know, she is bottling everything up. Memphis doesn't. I'm sure she bottles things up, but we see a lot more come out in Memphis mm-hmm. and her get emotional. But they really do want the same thing. And I really do think that I left that scene kind of thinking, I have a lot of problems with the way Memphis handles Hamza and moves the, as you said, like
moving the goalposts.
She moves the goalposts so much on him and kind of
speaks to him like a child.
But more than that, it's like, but she does gaslight him where she at the last minute says, okay, well, we had sex. Well, now if you want to, then we can get it married. But that it all, like, I do think that she loves him. And I do think that, so I think there's love. Now, it's not my version of love.
What, to talk about?
I couldn't fall in love with somebody I can't even talk to. It literally, I wrote this.
What is their love?
It's just like last week. This is all about communication. So much of their problems would all be solved if they knew, if they could all speak the same fucking literal language.
What is their love based on?
I don't know all the particulars. Right. So, but just, it seems like, I think.
Or what do you think I should ask you?
Honestly, if you think about it, we don't know a lot about Hamza. We really don't.
No, he is very naive.
I don't know. I think his love is based on fantasies and probably what he's seen in American movies of America and her. Yep. And like he talks about her body a lot and loving her body and her boobies and her butt.
Yep.
So I think he's almost more like,
I feel like
it's a puppy love.
I feel like
for
her, it's physical. Is what she's like. He is so hot.
So I think hers is physical too. It's so for her. I think they're in lust with each other. More
yeah, me
than
too.
Love. So, but I think her. But I think she's putting on him. What's what I worry about in this relationship? I feel like Memphis and a lot of people do this on 90 Day Fiancé. She's putting she is actually putting all of her hopes on him to come over and be this instant family.
And to save her relationship and her life.
He can't even speak the language at all. Like, he can't speak English at all, and he's going to come to the U.S. So that's just going to be really, really hard for him. And then I think what's going to happen, she's going to end up taking care of him.
Yep, 100%.
And because that's the role she's familiar with. She's got it.
And he's familiar with it.
He's used to having a mother, and then in like 5 years, she's going to resent the fuck out of him, and he's going to feel like she just nags and controls him.
Yep. So later on, you guys, they are trying on wedding dresses. And
this was a fun segment. I did not expect this.
It was funny.
Her and her mother have like, we forgot to say, y'all, if you don't watch the show, they walked out of the segment of after they had this conversation. The mom says, it's important to say, she says, I understand her.
You're my daughter.
Now.
Yeah.
She said, you are my daughter now. And she
said,
this
was nice.
And the mom said before, I forgot to say, but mom said before she left, she said, I don't think she's a bad person.
Yeah.
And so they walked off literally hugging and walking.
They did.
Kind of arm in arm. So anyway, yes. So now we're looking at wedding dresses.
Now, I got to say, the dresses they tried on, I liked the green one the best.
I loved the green one.
I think the last one she picked looked cheap.
The green one, I disagree. They FaceTime Memphis's mom.
Yeah, Deborah.
Y'all, she is wrong. That color
it's perfect
is perfect
on her. Yeah, I wrote that down.
Gorgeous on her. I was just like,
this
oh
was my biggest
with her
problem
hair
with this
and,
segment.
Like, it looked gorgeous.
And the second mom was like, I don't like that. The one. Second one was laughable. But
she couldn't walk, and Memphis's mom left.
The third dress looked like an I Dream of Jeannie reject.
I thought the third dress looked like a pantsuit that like
it was very
that like
Elvis,
that like Celine Dion would wear the Golden Globes.
Yes.
You know, the Golden Gloves where you can wear a pantsuit. You don't have to wear a dress.
But it looked cheap, too.
It fit her body, but that's it.
Yeah.
It looked...
I liked the green dress.
I like that a woman wears pants to a wedding.
I thought that was cool. That Memphis is trying to include Tunisian
and
customs.
So does the mom. The mom said I appreciate that too.
And later
it's like you watch this and you go, this relationship might have a chance of working if they knew how to order coffee in the other person's language.
And y'all, this is why this relationship I think is gonna get we think they are married now.
We think the rumors are she's
y'all,
pregnant.
It's almost like she is bound and determined to sabotage this. Do you totally get that?
I think that when you go through all that trauma in your life and a part you
need
feels
to
unlovable,
control it, yep.
You're going to sabotage it.
So she says she's talking
That's
about,
her pattern.
She's talking about the pernerp again, y'all.
Yeah.
She's trying to get a pernerp.
So she's going to meet with an attorney. She's like, I've been busy. I haven't really been able to meet with an attorney. Y'all, she's meeting with an attorney 2 days before the wedding.
He's like,
did we not learn from Chantel, who went the day before her wedding? Remember that?
Yes, and Bill Cosby had it at the wedding ceremony. I will never forget that.
What happened is that Chantel went to like a website and just downloaded like the terminology.
It was like a Google Doc.
And wrote their own pernup.
Pernup!
I don't think Memphis can, she could do that in English, but if you probably just stick that in Google Translate, it's not going to translate well.
Well, the guy, his name is Matthew, and I just don't buy that. I just haven't really had time. If it was important to you, honey.
If it was important to you, you would have done it before, honey.
So, she does say, and he's like, when are you getting married? And she's like, Monday. And I assume this is on a Friday or a Thursday.
And he was like, in 2 months, Monday? She's like, no, Monday. Yeah.
Now, literally, it's
Saturday. It's like a Friday night.
This is interesting. He's like, what assets? She's like, well, I'm looking to build a house. So
exactly.
That's not an ad. She's like, I am going to be making more money. And what was interesting is I want to know a couple things. Number one, did her previous marriage, did she have a problem with her ex to getting half? In other words, was that number one? This is what I kept thinking the entire segment here. Remember, you guys, if you sign the K-1 visa,
she's responsible
for
him. She is
responsible for him for 10 years. So what's the point of getting a perner?
I wondered that too. What? Because if they're divorced.
Even if they do divorce, she is still financially responsible for him.
She's still financially responsible. And he cannot, as of this, unless he, it's going to take him, he knows no English.
This is why I think this is a little fraudacity.
I wondered if it was fraudacity too.
Here's the other thing. I was thinking to myself, what a long game Hamza must be playing if he's going to want to wait 10 years to divorce her after that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't think he knows how much money she makes.
No, they've never talked about that.
But this for her, you talk about control, this for her is the ultimate guarantee.
Yeah, because she probably, even though it's not real, she has a fear in the back of her mind, she'll get divorced, he'll take things, she'll be homeless.
And this
like it goes back to that.
And this is
which
not,
is understandable.
And this is not what a prenup was designed for.
No.
Prenups are not designed for you're gonna get your money back guarantee at the end of a wedding.
No.
Or end of your relationship. Y'all use a prenup for if you're going into a relationship with dramatically different means. In other words, someone has a lot more money than you.
Also, prenups are used a lot when someone has an inheritance.
That's exactly what I'm just talking about.
I just want to use that, Lori, but she doesn't have that.
No.
We know that because her mom is just now kind of starting to rebuild her life.
Right.
So there's not and she doesn't know her dad.
No. Or both people are bringing in businesses that they have amassed while separate.
And I know she has some money because she never answered. She just said that she has her degree.
This has nothing to do with how much money she has. This has everything to do with, I don't want him to take what's mine.
Mm-hmm.
It is that mentality. Yeah. It is, and y'all, that's why she's not ready for a relationship. Because if you're not ready to share that part of yourself with someone.
Because I feel like if you're bringing someone over, I would kind of think this, honestly. I would think if I'm bringing somebody over I love to a different country, they're not going to work. I've got to support them. Maybe I would actually feel like if we divorce 5 years from now, they should get half.
Yeah. Amen.
Because I'm taking them from their country.
But it's that impulse of he's not getting what's mine, what I've worked for.
I would be like, I've got to give up and then work through the marriage. And if we get divorced and I have $1 million in the bank, they should get $500,000.
And this
That's
is
how I feel.
This is what's shitty. She says, I don't want to put my kids at risk. The thing about it is your husband is already paying child support.
We think. I imagine he is. He's involved in a lot,
right.
So he wouldn't be if he wasn't.
That is such a crappy excuse.
Well, one,
you're doing it for you.
Because isn't he the father to one baby? We don't know about the
that
second.
That is true.
So
I think that's a different person, maybe.
I thought her...
I think you're right.
I think you're right. I thought she had the father to one, and then she has a... She called
but
him
it's
baby
like, then. Just say you want to keep your money.
Yeah. That's what I think she wants to say.
It's a convenient thing to say.
So she's like, okay.
Because I'm sorry. This makes her seem really small. And I do think she has feelings for him, but it really makes her seem just small. Like protecting an anthill.
Well, it's not going to happen. I mean, the attorney said you could do a post-nuptial agreement, but there's no way to do this. She makes that face, the Migo Poopy face of, ew, I don't like that. So,
you're not telling me what I thought I was going to hear.
So then she comes back, and this would be fine to do if someone could understand your language.
Right.
But the fact that she's just going to say, hey, I'm going to a hotel this night and she tries to explain to Hamza, but she just tells him slowly again in kid speak.
I need to think.
I'm like, please tell me that you like translated this in a phone and we just didn't see that.
No, he doesn't know what to think.
Because she just ups and leaves to go to a hotel and he's like, what did I do? What did I say? What's wrong?
This is why I call it colonial stuff. You come in without any consideration of culture, with only your motives,
mm-hmm.
and you don't care about what anyone else thinks. You're going to do things your way.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's not good. It's not going to end well.
So she leaves, and we do see that next week she's going up to, or was it this episode?
No, it's next week.
Yeah, it's next
week. But y'all, they're already dancing for the wedding. And she's like, can I talk to you?
I kind of can't take my eyes away from it because it's such
That's
a
That's unforgivable.
Rate.
You can't stop a wedding when they're already dancing.
Well, again, she's moving the goalposts
because
she has. And yeah, I think you're right. I think it's what is sad about it to me is Memphis probably doesn't even see it. But it's just. She's self-sabotaging this because she does not feel lovable and that she's worthy to even do this. Mm-hmm. And that's at the root of all of this, I think, for her.
Yeah. That doesn't make up for the fact that this family are her victims of this mess.
No. That's what happens. It's the whole thing of what Renee said it.
The consequences
of
the same.
What's his name from Love, Lalu, who said it? Indy's Harry.
Harry.
Harry said... As we said, hurt people hurt people.
Right.
And I think that's what's happening.
It's time to go to Panama.
It is time to go to Panama.
We're going to take a quick break.
We're going to take a commercial. Gino, give me your emails. Give me your emails, Gino.
Legoland? What is Legoland?
Legoland. Yeah. We'll be back, y'all.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or is it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songpinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself. Never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Hey, you working out again? You like, you getting a good sweat on, looks like. You look good when you're doing it.
This is the wrong move, Gino. This is the wrong move.
Isn't it weird? Why does he not let her fucking work out?
Because he did this like the second time.
It's very Mike behavior, where he's just like, can I just waits around? Yes. Y'all, I dated one person who just liked to like sit and watch me do things.
Mm-hmm.
It drove me fucking crazy.
That's your kryptonite.
No, people just, it's kryptonite for me, for people to just be waste of spaces.
I mean, he already knew this. And so, because we find out, y'all, because when we last saw them, they were dancing. Everything seemed happy.
Yeah, well, I have a theory about this.
But Jasmine says she got a message, and she said it's from a new Instagram, yep. A troll account. They had no followers, but they said, I'm going to put your tits all over the internet. And she said, yeah. You know who it
obviously
was.
Obviously, it's the ex.
Yeah. And we do find out Gino says, this is where he admits that his ex is a little vengeful.
She's trying to ruin everything.
So, but he trusts her not to post anything, even though he's on the cable, even though he's on one of the world's most popular television shows.
I think he assumes she's using it for that type of blackmail and just to cause trouble.
Yeah.
But he probably knows
the ex. Might want to rethink that.
But he knows the ex well enough to know she won't go nuclear with it.
Does he?
She was with her for a while.
Do we believe Gino?
No, I'm not saying I believe him. I'm saying that's his rationality.
Yeah.
But he doesn't explain that to Jasmine at all. And Jasmine is just trying to, she's in fight or flight mode because she doesn't want her tits out there on the internet.
She y'all, the way she laid out to him in that gym saying, Gino, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm
and he could
lose
not
my
even...
job, my family, like, and she said, I'm a teacher. She said, I will definitely lose my job for this.
He could not even be slightly sympathetic. He'll say, well, it's not going to happen. You don't have to worry about that. And she's like, I just want you to say you're sorry. And he's like, I did say I was sorry.
She's like, I want you to know how bad this is. Well, you could always get another job.
Oh!
When he said that.
What?
Yeah, you might
Can
make.
Can you imagine?
You should do a job with working out. You like that? You might make more money.
And I wrote down.
I wrote, what the fuck?
How is it possible for you to say the worst possible thing at the worst possible time every time?
Hashtag Gino. That's his talent. That's his talent. You need someone to say the worst thing when it should. That's Gino. That's Gino. He even says, I could start supporting you.
He's like, they would be, we would be at the assassination of Lincoln, and Gino would go, wonder what kind of gun he used.
Yeah, exactly.
That Booth fella, That Booth fella really knew his guns.
Challenger blows up. I wonder where that rocket's going to land.
Hope it doesn't.
Oh, God, I'm thinking of something worse.
Don't say it. Golly.
So still a comedy killer. Mount St. Helens visits Mount St. Helens. Oh, wow. Wonder if people were, if people knew what hit them when Mount St. Helens went off.
They just got ash in the face and it was done.
Like I said in Seattle, too soon.
Too soon.
No one got it.
No one got it. So Shastman says, oh, you're going to support me. So you're going to give me $3,000 a month. And Gino responds and says,
that's a lot of money.
Could you get another job?
Yeah.
So basically said, can you get another job and make less money and I can give you less money a month?
It's so weird.
He's so weird the way he thinks.
Well, but I'm thinking he's trying to deflect.
He's trying to not take responsibility.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And I wrote down, I can't fucking believe this when we said that.
And then that's where Jasmine explains, like,
she'd be so much better off.
She is insulted by him. Like, you know, being a teacher, she really talks about being part of our identity.
She wants to do it. Like, that's her thing.
Y'all, again, I get that. I really felt for her.
No, she's went up and down and up and down for me all season. She's only going to go up for me now. But I've still always enjoyed her.
Oh,
even
yeah.
The crazy shit.
Oh, yeah.
But she's definitely the more, I don't know, just a better human being than he is.
Oh, like heads and tails.
He's terrible.
He and Mike are both horrible, gross people.
Yeah.
That's not a good, because I think that Jasmine is a lot, does a lot. I have a lot more respect than I do for Jimenez, the way that Jimenez handled Mike. It's not great.
Yeah.
But with Jasmine, so she, again, y'all, she just wants him to realize how painful this is. Meanwhile, later on, this woman's exhausted. So she's just taking a nap.
Are you awake? Mm-hmm. Did I awake you?
Again, y'all.
Don't ever ask someone that.
Don't ever ask. It's like, how many times has your kid come in and woke you up and said, did I wake you up, mommy? And you want to say, yes, Jimmy, you asshole. But you go, no, baby. Poor mothers. They never get sleep.
Mother Poodle would say, my Mother Poodle always woke up first because she was an early riser. But when we would go for Christmas morning, was my mother say, nobody better not come up before 6 a.m. And my brother and I would wait to watch the clock at 6 a.m. My mother would already be drinking coffee. Fine.
Oh, at 6 a.m.?
Yeah. She was up.
She would never give you the...
No, we would never have the satisfaction.
Faction of waking her up.
She was up early.
Wow.
Yeah. She was ready to go. And then my father would stumble out at 8 a.m. What'd I miss?
And Christmas is already done?
Christmas is over.
Wow. I'm sure your mother didn't let him... Didn't pull that over his head at all.
Missed everything. It wasn't his scene. anyway, he's like, do you want to go for a walk? And she's like, when I look at you,
Gino,
I just feel resentment. She's where she is right now is she just wants him to hear her, why she's upset. And he is arguing with her about the way she feels.
Hear and validate her pain. That's all she wants.
He is consistently arguing with her about why she shouldn't feel a certain way.
It's true. And she's always, Gino, I look at myself the day I met you.
I look like shit.
My eyelashes were beautiful. My lips were beautiful. My nails were beautiful. I look beautiful. And now I look like shit.
Let's get you some new eyelashes then. We'll paint them on. Look like, we'll do that. You'll look like that rabbit in Bambi. You know, the girl rabbit.
Motherfucker. Y'all, that is what he said.
I screamed.
I think a lot of it is Gino. I mean, Gino's a narcissist, y'all. Gino doesn't feel empathy for people.
No.
We've seen, like, the rumors that we've heard about, like, him with
sugar babies
and all that.
I'm not a sugar baby.
Y'all, that gets confirmed because she says, I'm not a sugar baby. And that's where Gino says,
At one time I did pay women to spend time with me, but not anymore. Not anymore.
I believe after this segment, I mean, maybe I'm dumb for thinking it, I believe Jasmine 100% loves Gino.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
I totally agree.
I don't think there's any other. I think maybe she would like to live
from the beginning.
I didn't know at first. I didn't know. But I think she 100%. Like, I thought it was at first. I thought it was like she just wanted someone to control. And I think that's a part of her. But I think that she.
That's love for her.
But I think she genuinely looks at him in her life and thought, I can have a safe, wonderful life with this man who's maybe not, like she said, not the best looking, but we'll have our somewhere that's green.
Yeah.
She's an Audrey, y'all, and she didn't get Rick Moranis. She got Gino.
She got Mr. Mushnick. She got the plant.
She got the fucking dentist.
You know
dentist.
What? At least the plant got a big dick.
Famous Playboy.
She got Mushnick.
That old plant. That's a nice stamen.
Stamen. It's a pistol. The pistol
oh,
is
it's a
the
pistol. What's the stamen?
I believe that's the female reproductive part.
Oh.
The pistol is the male.
Oh, there you go.
I believe. I could be mistaken.
That's true. So,
don't you remember all those crazy things from bio?
Yes, I do. Not really. What? Miss Coley and I would talk about episodes of Designing Women.
She'd just give you points on your tests.
No, not like Miss Harris. She said, I'm not one of your sugar babies. And then she immediately looks at Gino and she says, Gino, show me your email.
No, before it's, show me your mail.
Yes, and he goes,
show me your email.
Suddenly Gino learns Spanish. She goes, okay. And she says, show me your email.
And then he like looks at it. She's like, don't delete shit.
Yeah, because he goes, she's like, give me.
She goes, if he's been lying, I'll find it. So she's like, what is this?
Now, Gino is sitting there while she's doing this. And it looks like, how would you describe his reaction? It's just, that's pretty good. Although you can tell he's physically sick to his stomach.
Yeah.
Physically sick to his stomach. And then suddenly she says, what is this shit about Legoland?
Legoland.
Legoland, Gino.
And I gotta say, y'all, it looks like he's saying it was 6 years ago.
It's an email from 2014 and he went with his ex.
But for Jasmine, one lie means everything is a lie.
Because she says, you told me you went to Disneyland in that place in Branson. And that you told, or whatever. She's like, you told me you went to two places, Gino. And he's like, I agree with Gino. How am I supposed to remember where I went 6 years ago?
You can't remember where you went last month.
No. No. Were we in Phoenix yesterday? I don't remember. So I think they had that little, the Phoenix Tower or whatever. Anyway. You're right. It's not about this. And Gino says, how the fuck am I supposed to remember 6 years ago? And Gino is trying to, he thinks he has the upper hand and that she's being, and she is being ridiculous looking at an email from 6 years ago. But she's only, this is what I say a lot of times on the show. Women who act crazy, and Jasmine is fucking, she's crazy
she's
about
nuts.
Shit.
Yeah.
But often women act crazy because, or quote unquote crazy, I would just say women get that crazy label because men don't acknowledge their pain and their hurt and completely gaslight their
emotions. And they act out.
And they're acting out.
Mm-hmm. No, I 100% agree with you.
Y'all, he gets up and leaves and there's just a sad chair laying on the ground.
I know we said I was going to talk about Mike and Amanda, but it's a longer segment, so I think we can do Kim and Usman next.
Okay. I will say he calls her a fucking idiot.
That's right. He says it's over.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done. Done.
You're not done because no one else will have you.
No one else will have you.
No one else. You don't have to pay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jasmine.
Sorry.
So it's time for a little Kim and Usman.
Yo. It's been a rough out couple of days. Been a rough out. I mean, I'm confused. He said he had sex. He told me he loved me.
No.
He told me that apparently Zara is not a song about all the Zaras. It's not about all the Zaras. And she's saying this, and I'm like, how are you so naive that you believe this? That you believe that when he said Zara is about all of the Zaras? No. No.
And I said this at the live show. This was a real whiplash moment for me because it happened quickly. And it's almost like she was waiting, like we were talking about Memphis. She was waiting for a moment to sabotage her own relationship.
We've all done this. This is what Darcy does.
Yeah. And it's almost like if there's no complete control in it for her, and especially if everything doesn't work out just to her precision.
It makes sense. Someone like Memphis, and she has had no father. She's been home. She doesn't trust people. Yep. I don't fucking blame her with the life that she had.
Right.
We don't know Kim's life. Whatever happened in Kim's life, Kim doesn't trust people.
No. What you should do instead of going halfway around the world for love is pay a motherfucking therapist to talk you through some of it.
Well, to talk you through, but there are points where when you get into relationships, all that shit, all the experience comes up when you're not talking about it, but you're experiencing it. You kind of have to jump into relationship and say, I trust you. I'm going to trust you.
Right.
And if I get hurt, then that's the casualty of love.
Right. Because if you're in it, it's a casualty of love. That sounds like a song from the 80s. A casualty of love. Sounds like a Huey Lewis Lewis song. Casualty of love. I'm going to go down on a road. I'm not going to hit that person because that would be a casualty of love.
It does sound like a song, casualty of love.
You're just a casualty of love.
Huey Lewis had a big dick.
That is the B-side to Power of Love.
Casualty
of Love.
That's
a casualty of love.
This is where
I saw the ambulance go by to take you. You're a casualty of love. Wow. Gonna need to go to the hospital.
Fade out. Fade out.
I'm done.
Boy, I wish I had a saxophone. Just pull it out like Lisa Simpson.
We do need to have that as a prop.
We do. Do you play saxophone?
I can.
They say it's easy to learn.
Clarinet and saxophone are the easiest wind instruments. Saxophone is one of the hardest at a
upper level.
Yeah, it's the hardest thing. Of the technique is easy, but the tone is really hard in the clarinet. That's why you hear clarinet people, like young clarinetists, going. Mm-hmm. It's a hard thing. Flute is very hard too. I was a natural flute player, as my wind instructor told me, because my sardonic smile was already ready.
Wow.
He's like, you could have a career playing the flute, my son.
Well,
sounded gross, like he wanted to fuck me.
Well, he didn't know. You've been playing the skin flute proficiently.
Since I was 15.
Proficiently. All right. Anyway. So, all the Zaras in the world. Anyway. So she calls her friend Vanessa and she's like, hey, girl, hey. And so Kim, bless her heart, she didn't sleep last night because her bag, she looks like a hound dog. Her bags are so big.
Before she gets into this, I want to say this. He starts the way her kind of road, he's like, so. It was easy. It wasn't easy for me to get to be his girlfriend. And like, then we had sex, and then and then I was trying to figure out what's to go from there. Now, the issue here is she's still obsessed with the fact that they had sex. And I wrote down, it was all about, for her, the confidence that this man found her attractive enough to bone. That's what it was for her.
I saw it a different way. I mean, I agree with that, I think. But what I saw it is she kept telling herself,
I think somewhere down deep, and she says this at the end, she's known all along Usman doesn't love her.
Yeah.
She said, she admits that. I think she was in this and thinking, okay, he said, I know he doesn't really love me, but if I can just go over and see him, mm-hmm. maybe then he'll fall in love with me. If I can just get him to have sex,
right.
then he'll fall in love with me. All the things that he's done that she's coerced him to do, he's done, and he still doesn't love her.
Yeah.
And she knows it. And so the, she's using this Zara thing, this woman that he dated when the beginning. Y'all, he didn't cheat on her at all.
No!
He didn't lie to her at all. You don't tell people when you were casually dating someone.
No.
Now, her Vanessa does make a good point. Says, does he sing a song about somebody that he was... Does he make a song about somebody he wasn't really interested in? And she goes, okay, that hurt.
that hurt. Exactly. That really hurt.
Yeah, that really hurt. But okay. But
that one hurt.
You kept the real girl, and that's why I love you, but fuck. Fuck, that hurt. That hurt.
That really,
that really hurt. But she says, she lays it out. It was five. So I think, I agree with you, but I do think it's that she kept thinking, once I get to here,
yeah.
it's the same adage of somebody saying, let's get married and our problems will work out.
Yeah.
Let's have a baby.
Let's have a baby. Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
Do you think, though, when she's talking to this, when she's talking about the friend and is it okay? I think it's completely okay. Why is she so upset about the fact that Zara, why couldn't she say, yeah, that was the one who I used to date, but you are my now? Yes, the song was about someone I, because he wrote the song maybe 6 weeks before he wrote Kim.
Yeah, I don't know if it's lost in the translation or the way he speaks. But
they
speak
perfect English.
But not like the trans, but just the formality of how Usman speaks English
yeah.
sometimes. It didn't. He didn't.
It is colonial British English.
Yes, he did not explain it well.
No.
And so.
Well, he's a master at that. Because the more details you have, the more you can pin him down.
Because could he. Yes, I should backtrack and say, from what Usman is telling us, I don't think he really cheated on Kim.
No.
Do I think Usman's not telling us everything? 100%.
He never does. 100%.
100%. 100%.
So this is when. This whole section, the whole section later on, they are. She's like, he's gonna do something really romantic and big,
really big.
To prove now,
gotta do it big.
Now, this is when I went, I'm done with you.
When she said that, I went,
oh, this is all.
This is
something you need.
But
this is
well, it's horrible. And she again in her mind. In her mind of feeling unlovable, she's like, if he does something big, that'll prove that he loves me or that'll make him love me more. Honey, he's just not that into you. Read the book.
And it's just like...
Read that book.
But, y'all, that's why she's acting like... That she's acting like he was the one who ruined all of this, and then she's giving him a chance. We even said this at our last show. She will go back to him because he'll say something nice.
Yes, yes, she for sure will go back to him.
I don't believe, even though he says safe flight, I don't believe this is the end.
No.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't. He's not in love with her.
No. He's biding his time.
He needs her.
Money.
To make money.
Yep.
He needs her to get ahead. He needs her. So it's almost as if Usman is aware of the transactional relationship, and he gets offended when Kim says it's not a transactional relationship, even though she knows it's a transactional relationship, but she's putting her...
There's a dog barking!
She's putting her American ideas of relationship on this.
Which is very common on this show.
Which is very... So later they meet by the pool, and Usman's going to try to be calm. And she sits down and she's like, I feel like everything was bullshit. And she said, why did you bring me down here to shoot a video about another woman? And Usman responds and he says, I didn't beg you to be here. And
good move.
Which Kim said, it's.
No, I'm saying.
No.
It's hard to fight that.
No, it's hard to fight. She said, well, I didn't know I was going to have to beg for all of this from you. And here's a deal where.
if it was a normal relationship, but it's not, I see where...
It is by no means a normal relationship.
I see where, in Kim's rationale, I see where she's coming from, and she is right. Usman has not done... She asked him,
have you done
anything for me when I was here? And he said, nothing.
The same.
But he doesn't... She doesn't realize that culturally where he's right. coming from, he doesn't think that's a where his culture comes in a man in
a woman is 100% submissive.
She's already it's already a gift that he's allowing her to right. be there. Right. She doesn't see that though.
Now, even more so though, she's basically saying she's like we should be progressed so far from where we are now. So again, this is her timeline. And remember, y'all, she came to Africa as a potential.
The potential.
Only as a potential.
Then she became a girlfriend. But I thought was shitty in the way she did is she took his Soulja Boy necklace back.
Oh, this was, she's like, let me see your necklace.
And we found out, it literally, that's what was so
shitty. You don't know what I had to do to get this.
She tells that, I did this because I loved you. I paid $45 to send it back so it could be back on your
birthday. It was the overseas.
Speaking of birthday, y'all, I didn't mention this, but I did find out on Instagram, Kim and I have the same birthday. Born on March 12th. I mean, it's hilarious. So, but that said, I can understand her because if we're going to use a little bit of astrology, and I'm kind of buying into astrology stuff, it is all Pisces are sensitive dreamers. This relationship for her, it's all, if I go, this is all, like she said, I don't know what's going to happen. We break up this relationship. It's been 24/7 for me. And I'm like, because that's called a fantasy.
And that's what that's called an you obsession. Have done. Yeah.
That's called a not real relationship.
Yeah.
And but that's how she is seen in this all.
Do you notice when she says...
Hold on. I just want to say this. When she, y'all, if you didn't watch the show, she takes the Soulja Boy necklace back from him. She talks about all the things she did. And granted, he's done none of those type of love things at all. And even when she's been here on the days off, he hasn't planned a dinner for her. He has given
They went to the spice place.
And take her to that. Yeah. He's hardly given her anything. But instead, she says, I'm keeping this necklace that I gave you as a gift until you can prove to me. So she's
extorting.
Now she's making it transactional. Yep. But she's saying it's not transactional.
And at one point, this is the worst thing she does at the end. She's like, you need to figure it out. She puts everything on him, and which basically ends the communication.
Because she's done everything in the relationship to make it a relationship. And now she feels she's in a shame cycle. She's in a shame cycle because she realizes she realizes she created this and she forced this. And then it's not going to work out, and she feels stupid. So she wants him now to fix this. And when he laughs at her face, she throws her water on him because she feels like
she needs to do that at the end of a scene.
It's not her past relationships that are triggering her. It's because she feels like people are going to laugh at her for how stupid she was.
She's
and
been right.
He just laughed in her face, and she feels
and she's
stupid.
Like, my ex-husband came home with like lipstick and like all kinds of girls' numbers.
It's not about that. It's that she feels laughable, and he laughed in front of her.
Yeah. Now near the end, he says, "Fine, safe flight." And
yeah, because they fight again.
And they fight again.
She's like, "Oh, whoa, yo man, he said safe flight."
Now.
Apparently, that's the trigger. That's the ending of relationship.
Did you see what she said at the end? It's going to be really hard on to move on from Usman in my life. I'll never date again.
She's
going to become a salt wife, y'all. She's going to sit on that lighthouse and look at the gulls.
Just listen
look
to
the puffins.
Just listen to Michael Jackson songs. Just waiting for them to come in the water, from the water.
Watching the jellyfish swim in the brine.
Cause she's a casualty of love.
Casualty of love. Oh, she's a casualty of love. That's the fucking show. I can't do this stupid shit anymore.
Close it out. I'm playing the saxophone to fade out.
You can find us at Reality Date. Stop! No. Be quieter. RealityGaze.com. It's not just for porn anymore. You can find us on Instagram at RealityGazePodcast. You can find us on Twitter at RealityGazePod. live. You can find all of our tour dates on realityace.com. Yo, we call these people lonely hearts because we all, aren't we all out there? Well, aren't we all lonely hearts out there in the world? Stop. Finish it, please. No, yes. And if you've ever done an extended saxophone solo to a Huey Lewis in the News song, call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.